August 7th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 24, and we'll read through chapter 6, verse 22. Here is a brief overview of some of what we'll find there in our narration today. Ezra resumes his chronological account here. It may have been 10 years since the Israelites had worked on the temple. It did not begin again until 520 BC. That was in the second year of Darius's reign. God sometimes sends prophets to encourage and strengthen his people. To accomplish this, Haggai and Zechariah not only preached, but also got involved in the labor. In the church today, God appoints prophetic voices to help us with our work. Their ministry should have the same effect upon us as Haggai's and Zechariah's had on Israel. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, that is building up, and exhortation, that is challenging, and comfort. In turn, we should encourage those who bring God's words to us. Now we'll read here in this passage of Scripture, the non-Jews who lived nearby attempted to hinder the construction of the temple. But while the legal debate went on and the decision was under appeal, the Jews continued to rebuild. You see, when we're doing God's work, others may try to delay, confuse, or frustrate us. But we can proceed confidently. God will accomplish His purposes in our world, no matter who attempts to block them. So don't be sidetracked by intrigues or slander, but concentrate on God's purpose. Now, later as we read here in this passage, we'll see that Cyrus, the king, is called king of Persia, and he's called king of Babylon later, because Persia had just conquered Babylon. Cyrus was king of both nations. And then we'll see that feasting and celebration were in order at the great temple dedication. But the priests and Levites were organized into groups in order to do the service of God, as it is written in the book of Moses. See, there's a time to celebrate, but there's also a time to work. Both in their time are proper and necessary when worshiping God, and both are pleasing to God. All right, with that, let's begin today's reading here in the Old Testament. August 7th, the Old Testament. Ezra chapter 4, verse 24, through chapter 6, verse 22. So the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem had stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. At that time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. They prophesied in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, responded by starting again to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them and helped them. But Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar Bozenai and their colleagues soon arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure?" They also asked for the names of all the men working on the temple. But because their God was watching over them, the leaders of the Jews were not prevented from building until a report was sent to Darius, and he returned his decision. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, the governor, Shethar Bozenai, and the other officials of the province west of the Euphrates River sent to King Darius. "To King Darius, greetings. The king should know that we went to the construction site of the temple of the great God in the province of Judah. It is being rebuilt with specially prepared stones, and timber is being laid in its walls. The work is going forward with great energy and success. We ask the leaders, who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure? And we demanded their names so that we could tell you who the leaders were. This was their answer. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built here many years ago by a king of Israel. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and exiled the people to Babylonia. However, King Cyrus of Babylon, during the first year of his reign, issued a decree that the temple of God should be rebuilt. King Cyrus returned the gold and silver cups that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of Babylon. These cups were taken from that temple and presented to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom King Cyrus appointed as governor of Judah. The king instructed him to return the cups to their place in Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of God there on its original site. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the temple of God in Jerusalem. The people have been working on it ever since, though it is not yet completed. Therefore, if it pleases the king, we request that a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to discover whether King Cyrus ever issued a decree to rebuild God's temple in Jerusalem, and then let the king send us his decision in this matter. So King Darius issued orders that a search be made in the Babylonian archives, which were stored in the treasury. But it was at the fortress at Ecbatana in the province of Media that a scroll was found. This is what it said. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus's reign, a decree was sent out concerning the temple of God at Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt on the site where Jews used to offer their sacrifices, using the original foundations. Its height will be 90 feet, and its width will be 90 feet. Every three layers of specially prepared stones will be topped by a layer of timber. All expenses will be paid by the royal treasury. Furthermore, the gold and silver cups, which were taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar from the temple of God in Jerusalem, must be returned to Jerusalem and put back where they belong. Let them be taken back to the temple of God. So King Darius sent this message. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai, and your colleagues and other officials west of the Euphrates River, stay away from there. Do not disturb the consecration of the temple of God. Let it be rebuilt on its original site, and do not hinder the governor of Judah and the elders of the Jews in their work. Moreover, I hereby decree that you are to help these elders of the Jews as they rebuild this temple of God. You must pay the full construction costs without delay from my taxes collected in the province west of the Euphrates River so that the work will not be interrupted. Give the priests in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, and male lambs for the burnt offerings presented to the God of heaven. And without fail, provide them with as much wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil as they need each day. Then they will be able to offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the welfare of the kings and his sons. Those who violate this decree in any way will have a beam pulled from their house. Then they will be tied to it and flogged, and their house will be reduced to a pile of rubble. May the God who has chosen the city of Jerusalem as the place to honor his name destroy any king or nation that violates this command and destroys this temple. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be obeyed with all diligence. Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai and their colleagues complied at once with the command of King Darius. So the Jewish elders continued their work, and they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. The temple was finally finished, as had been commanded by the God of Israel and decreed by Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. The temple was completed on March 12th, during the sixth year of King Darius's reign. The temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the people who had returned from exile. During the dedication ceremony for the temple of God, 100 young bulls, 200 rams, and 400 male lambs were sacrificed, and 12 male goats were presented as a sin offering for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the priests and Levites were divided into their various divisions to serve at the temple of God in Jerusalem, as prescribed in the book of Moses. On April 21st, the returned exiles celebrated Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were ceremonially clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests, and for themselves. The Passover meal was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and by the others in the land who had turned from their immoral customs to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. Then they celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land because the Lord had caused the king of Assyria to be favorable to them, so that he helped them to rebuild the temple of God, the God of Israel. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 5 through 23. We'll see that Paul planted the seed of God's word in people's hearts. He was a missionary pioneer. He brought the message of salvation. Apollo's role was to water, to help the believers grow stronger in the faith. Paul founded the church in Corinth, and Apollos built on that foundation. Tragically, the believers in Corinth had split into factions, pledging loyalty to different teachers. The preacher's work was completed, but God keeps on making Christians grow. Our leaders should be respected, but we should never place them on pedestals that create barriers between people or as a substitute for our devotion to Christ. We'll see as we read today that God's work involves many different individuals with a variety of gifts and abilities. There are no superstars in this task, only team members performing their own special roles. We become useful members of God's team by setting aside our desires to receive glory for what we do. Don't seek the praise that comes from people, because it is comparatively worthless. Instead, seek the approval that comes from God. And once again, we'll learn that the foundation of the church, of all believers, is Jesus Christ. And Paul laid this foundation when he began the church at Corinth. In the church built on Jesus Christ, each church member would be mature, spiritually sensitive, and doctrinally sound. However, the Corinthian church was filled with wood, hay, and stubble, members who were immature, insensitive to one another, and eagerly accepting wrong doctrine. No wonder they had so many problems. Local church members should be deeply committed to Christ. Can your Christian character stand that kind of a test? And finally, we'll see that Paul said that both life and death are our servants. While non-believers are victims of life, swept along by its current and wondering if there is meaning to it, believers use life well because they understand its true purpose. Non-believers can only fear death. For believers, however, death holds no terrors because Christ has conquered them all. Death is only the beginning of eternal life with God. And now let's begin our reading today, here in the New Testament. August 7th, the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 23. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. In the book of Psalms for today's reading, we'll be narrating Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11. We'll read about the cedars of Lebanon. They were giant trees that could grow to 120 feet tall and 30 feet in circumference. They were big trees. A voice that could split the cedars of Lebanon would be a truly powerful voice. That would be the voice of God. The flood mentioned in this passage here is the same Hebrew word for the great flood that covered the earth in Noah's day. Now, throughout history, God has revealed his power through mighty miracles over nature, such as the great flood that we read about back in Genesis. He promises to continue to reveal his power. Paul urged us to understand how great God's power is. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to help us with our daily problems. We just have to pray and thereby access God's power. So when you feel weak and limited, don't despair. Remember that God can give you strength. The power that controls creation and raises the dead is available to you. Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11, a psalm of David. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, "Glory!" The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. A wise king scatters the wicked like wheat, then runs his threshing wheel over them. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive.